Red Letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Letters emerge as if from a flickering film strip. Constantin Film logo. White uppercase letters appear on a black screen. MJAG Productions logo. Netflix and Constantin Film presents a Constantin Film and MJAG Productions production. From blackness, a jagged pinhole of bright light appears and gets bigger with each hammering sound. Inside a dark cave, a woman caver wears climbing gear, a helmet with a headlamp, and a respiration mask as she chisels away at a rock wall. She peers through the hole she has made into a black void. Words appear. Uncharted cave system, Pennsylvania, 1,000 feet beneath the Appalachian Trail. She uses her chisel to clear debris from the enlarged hole, which is now big enough to pass through. She and her male caving partner look into a dark chasm with their bright headlamps glaring. They smile and give a high five. Then she talks into a radio headset.
Surface team, do you copy?
Copy.
We're at the system's furthest extreme. Just blasted through the rock fall into the second chamber. About to...
The cavers listen intently and peer into the blackness.
Cave team, what's your status?
Their headlights create a blur of frenetic movement as something attacks and blood splatters in the glare. A horde of bat-like creatures escapes from the chasm and flaps wildly toward daylight at the surface. Opening credits appear over a barrage of ominous scenes, cave drawings, clouds and spewing lava, morphing cells and microscopic bacteria, insects and creatures, a fetus and a crying newborn, oil rigs, radar and satellite dishes, planet Earth, ocean creatures, swarms of people and bees. A film by John R. Leonetti, starring Stanley Tucci, Kiernan Shipka, Miranda Otto, and John Corbett, Kate Trotter, Kyle Breitkopf, Dempsey Brick, and Billy McClellan. Based upon the novel by Tim LeBon. Screenplay by Carrie Van Dyke and Shane Van Dyke. Directed by John R. Leonetti. Images of smokestacks polluting the air, a crush of commuters and rapid transit, a laptop screen, construction cranes, polluted water and swirling traffic, a DNA strand, wiggling worms, and a charging cheetah, a crushing herd of wildebeests at a waterhole, lizards, lions and alligators, riot cops and fire in the streets, a garbage dump site, an iceberg crumbles into the ocean, flies on a dead fish, bats and birds fill the sky. Title, The Silence. Words appear. Montclair, New Jersey, 20 miles northwest of New York City. On a sunny day, a flock of small black birds is perched on power lines as blonde teenaged Allie crosses a high school campus, focused on her tablet screen social media. Oblivious to a group of taunting boys behind her, she watches the birds take flight.
Allie!
She narrates.
Dad always told me I was gifted. The way I was able to adapt so quickly to becoming deaf. Feeling those around me.
My name is Ali. Look at me, everyone. I can read lips.
She sees others laughing, gives the boys a dirty look, and walks on.
Maybe not all those around me.
In a construction site trailer, planners Hugh and Glenn meet with project manager Max.
So we're going to have to reroute the main drain, which means we're going to have to put in a whole new pumping station, and that's not going to be cheap.
Okay, so fix it.
Oh, why don't you cut the shit, Max?
What was that?
You heard me.
Wait. Max, you recommended the engineer who caused this problem, so...
And you guaranteed me a specific cost for the work upon your initial ground inspection of the site.
Glenn glances at his ringing cell phone.
Okay. We'll fix it.
Good.
Hugh in a suit and Glenn in a white hard hat exit the trailer.
That guy's a prick.
Yeah, well, I can't afford to lose any clients right now.
All the jobs we've been doing?
Well, you know, college does not come cheap, and you'll find that out when you settle down and have children of your own.
Well, I don't have to. I live vicariously through you. Allie pick a school yet?
No, but I'm hoping it'll be NYU.
Good school?
Yeah, it's a great school.
Real close to home?
Yes, yes. Look, I don't want her going halfway across the country. She's not ready for that.
No, she's not ready.
No.
Excuse. Hugh answers his cell phone.
Hello?
His wife, Kelly, is on the line.
Hey, you busy?
I'm just leaving work.
Could you please stop and pick up Mom's prescriptions on the way home?
Yeah, sure, no problem.
She piles bouncing soccer balls into her car.
And Hugh, a parent from Allie's school called. She saw two boys mocking her, choking around behind her back.
Again?
Yeah, again. But please don't say anything to her. You know how she is. Just don't say anything.
Okay, bye, bye, bye.
Glenn smokes a cigarette.
I need a drink. You look like you could use a drink. Let's get some drinks.
Why? When I can live vicariously through you.
Kelly arrives in the family kitchen with grocery bags. Right. Her mother, Lynn,
hey.
Is cooking.
Hi. You know, I told you not to buy him all those damn electronics.
He's 12, Mom. All the kids have.
Yeah, I know. Well, you shouldn't.
Kelly locates her preteen son in the living room.
Jude! No games before homework.
She turns off his game. The flat-screen TV goes black and she walks out.
This primes my brain.
He turns the TV back on, ignores a newscast reporting a fourth aircraft brought down, and returns to his game. Out on the street, a handsome boy sneaks up behind Allie and covers her eyes.
Hi, Rob.
He uses sign language.
How did you know that was me?
Your hands smell like Twinkies.
Oh, I washed them.
Okay.
I did. Can I walk with you for a while?
Sure.
She reads his lips and watches him sign.
My parents are taking me to look at cars this weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
If it was up to my parents, I'd never drive a car for the rest of my life.
That's no big deal. I'll just pick you up every day.
Deal.
Deal.
He shakes her hand, then holds it as they continue walking. She smiles. While playing his game, Jude notices her approaching the house.
Allie's home!
A friendly Rottweiler runs to greet her.
Hi, buddy! How's my boy?
She looks in on Jude.
Hey, dweeb. Butt face.
He signs to her and they smile. She enters the kitchen and takes a look in the fridge, then turns to Lynn, who kisses her cheek. Her mother sits at a desk. They sign to each other.
Hi, Mom.
Where have you been? Why are you so late?
I walked.
You walked? By yourself?
No, I walked with Rob.
That's the second time this week.
That's because she wants to bone him!
Jude, who cares?
You should have texted me, Allie. How do I know where you are?
We're just friends, Mom.
Right. Have you kissed him?
Mom!
I think she kissed him. She better not have.
Allie turns toward the window where the dog is looking out, his back bristling. She stands beside him and looks skyward. Later, everyone is gathered around a bountiful supper table, signing, talking, and laughing. Allie narrates.
Everyone has their own story. Where they were when it happened, what they were doing. This is how it happened for us. This is our story.
Outside, at night, Allie looks skyward as helicopters pass above the house. Then she peers across the yard and sees Lynn perched on a bench enjoying a cigarette. Allie approaches quietly and startles Lynn. They combine speaking with signing.
Grandma.
Ooh. This is awkward. You know, these aren't mine. You know your mother, she will ground me indefinitely.
I won't tell.
Thank you, sweetheart. I love you.
Go on, off to bed.
Returning inside, Allie notices her parents engaged in a serious conversation. She narrates.
3 years ago, I lost my grandparents and my hearing.
Flashback. In a car at night, glaring light, breaking glass, Allie thrown violently.
But somehow, I feel like it's my parents who lost the most.
Now in her bedroom, she lies on the bed with the dog at her side while messaging Rob on her tablet. My mom thinks we're dating. He replies, "Are we?" Then he sends her a video. Initially, she smiles, watching a scene of birds massing together in the night sky. Then her face grows serious. Her dad enters and waves to attract her attention. She reads his lips as they sign intermittently.
Hey. Do you sleep with that thing?
Hey, Dad.
Hi. So, who is he?
Oh my God, Dad.
I'm your father. I'm supposed to know these things. Come on.
Mom freaked out on me.
Really? Is that what happened?
You guys are afraid to let me leave the house. It's stupid.
We worry about you.
Well, you shouldn't, because I'm perfectly fine.
Okay. So is he a nice guy, or?
Yes,
yeah?
He's really nice. He's even learning to sign.
I like him already.
Dad, what?
What? No. So how is everything? Okay? How was school today?
It was okay.
Good. You know you can talk to me about anything.
I know.
Okay. Don't stay up too late. Love ya.
He gestures with his thumb, index finger, and pinky extended, then leaves the room. Later, she awakens suddenly, with her mom over her, signing urgently.
Something's happening.
What's going on?
The bedside clock reads 3:02 a.m. Next, Allie finds everyone in the living room, where the fireplace is draped with plastic. Hugh is on the phone while the others watch a TV news report. Allie reads the closed captions. Breaking news, U.S. cities under attack in what Homeland Security and the Centers for Disease Control are now calling a plague of unprecedented proportions. Glenn arrives.
Unprecedented proportions.
What's happening?
Beyond that,
is it terrorists?
Glenn, they don't know.
Inhibiting all media from entering the affected areas. New York One can now confirm the cities of Pittsburgh and Philadelphia have both been hit. The number of smaller town attacks continuing to climb.
Well, first they say it's terrorists, and they say it's chemicals.
Maryland and West Virginia, built-up locations, areas
try another channel.
Population seem to be the worst.
You insist the infestation is under control. Images on social media are telling a much different story. We'd like to warn our audience the images you're about to see are graphic.
Shaky video footage of mutilated dead bodies and people running.
Dad.
It's okay. It's fine.
Another video posted just moments ago was shot inside one of the affected areas and has since gone viral.
A distraught woman in a car and a boy in the back seat with tape over his mouth silently look out to see a neighboring car smeared with blood. The woman holds up a sign that reads, "Don't make noise."
What the hell does that mean, don't make noise?
Have released a statement to stay in their homes.
Stay here.
And to stay silent. National Guard units have been deployed to all affected areas.
Sudden noise makes them jump. Hugh and Glenn head outside. The others watch through the window as fighter jets fly past.
Shit, man.
Hugh and Glenn return to the living room.
Everybody, let's do what they say. Put your phones on silent, okay?
What's happening?
I don't know.
blasted through an ancient rock fall and sealed off for millions of years.
Caver's footage of the initial attack.
What the?
Bat-like creatures swarm the surface. The screen goes black, then an emergency message fills the screen.
And close all windows and doors. Do not make noise. Do not
all right,
attempt to drive or use any force.
You hang tight, I'll be right back.
Where are you going?
I'm gonna get some gear. You wanna stick around while a million of those things show up?
No, but we're supposed to just stay here and stay silent.
Right. Then the cities are the worst place to be, aren't they?
Next, Lynn approaches Kelly with a handful of prescription bottles.
Mom, if you're not up to this, then we can stay. There are plenty of people waiting this out in their homes. No.
You do me a favor. Put these with your things. Hide them as best you can. I don't want the kids to see.
Okay.
They're all that matters now.
Later. The family van is loaded with supplies, and Glenn is packing the back of his SUV.
Hey, you got room for this?
Yeah.
Glenn checks a handgun and packs it in a duffel bag.
What's that?
Tactical supplies.
Whoa. Can I go with Uncle Glenn?
I'll take care of him.
Okay. Stay away from those. I'll follow you.
Okay, let's go!
In the dark of night, the SUV quietly pulls away from an upscale suburban home, with the van following close behind. Allie looks out from the van's back seat to see the lights of a sprawling city engulfed in flames and smoke, with choppers and fighter jets in the sky above. Lights flicker in a deserted subway station, where blood is smeared on the walls and mangled corpses litter the platform. On board an out-of-service train, commuters sit in anxious silence, exchanging glances as a baby starts to fuss. The mother tries desperately to comfort the child with an empty feeding bottle. A man takes the baby and heads for the end door.
What are you doing?
Give me the baby.
Just don't.
Other men restrain the mother.
Please, I'll go with her.
They release the mother. Everyone looks on in distraught silence as she exits the train with the baby in her arms. While slowly following the tracks in a dimly lit tunnel, she looks back to see several people pressed to the window, watching apprehensively. She cradles the baby and rocks it as she walks. Its soother falls on the tracks.
Oh, no.
As she runs back toward the train, horrified looks come over the people in the window. Radio broadcast in the family van.
A state of emergency has been called for the entire Eastern Seaboard. Death tolls in all infested areas being described as catastrophic. The CDC is urging everyone west of Interstate 77 from Cleveland south to Charlotte to remain west of that line. Do not approach the Eastern Seaboard.
As they travel, Allie FaceTimes Rob. He signs while talking.
Where up north are you going to go?
I don't know. Someplace quiet? You should leave too. You could follow us.
My parents said we're staying. The news said it's better to stay put. So much for car shopping, huh? Don't cry. I'm sure this is all gonna be over soon. Let's make a promise that we're gonna stay in touch with each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Promise.
Promise.
The van pulls into a gas station. Hugh puts it in park and unbuckles his seatbelt.
Everybody, just wait here, okay?
But Otis has to pee.
All right, make it quick, okay?
Allie gets out with the dog. A police car speeds past as Hugh heads over to the SUV.
Hey,
I got this. You just watch him.
All right, okay.
Glenn heads inside, and Hugh checks on Jude.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
I don't know. Scared, I guess.
It's okay. And you're riding with Uncle Glenn, so he's a tough guy in times like this. You know how I met him?
No.
Well, we went to high school together, and after school, these three guys, these lacrosse players, they sort of all came up to me, and they were going to bully me. And I wasn't going to fight them, so I tried to talk my way out of it. Before I knew it, he shows up, grabs one of the guys, and headbutts him. The guy drops right to the ground. And the other two guys just kind of ran away. And we've been best friends ever since.
I wish I was that brave.
I have a feeling you might be. All right, so don't worry.
Allie is heading back to the van with Otis on a leash when a man comes up behind her with a rifle raised. Kelly, Lynn, and Hugh rally around her with their hands raised in passive defense.
Shut up! Shut the dog up!
She can't hear you!
Okay, okay, don't shoot. What do you want?
Just shut up!
He shoots into the air.
Okay, all right, just tell me what you want.
Shut up!
All right, what do you want?
Keys your car.
Okay,
I'm not messing around.
Okay, 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 don't shoot, please, please.
Hugh holds out his keys. Glenn shoots the man in the leg and Otis attacks him while he's down. Hugh grabs Otis and Glenn grabs the man's rifle.
Everybody in the car.
Please, man. Please, don't leave me here, man. Please, those things are gonna catch up to me. Please, don't leave me!
They leave the man lying on the ground and drive away quickly. As they travel on a deserted highway at daybreak, Lynn consoles Allie in the back of the van, while a concerned Kelly looks on from the front. Ahead of them, Glenn pulls over and they stop behind him.
What's he doing?
I don't know.
At the roadside, Jude climbs out of the SUV and runs into Hugh's arms.
What's going on?
What? Hey, 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 hey!
You okay?
He's good. He just wanted to be with you.
It's okay. All right.
We gotta go. Roads are gonna get bad.
All right. Thanks.
Jude latches on to Kelly as she takes him to the van. He climbs in the back with Allie, Lynn, and Otis. As they resume their journey, Glenn rides alone, leading the way in his SUV. Allie finds an article on her tablet.
What are they saying?
They're calling them vesps because of how they swarm. Avispa means wasp in Spanish.
How could we not know about them until now?
Well, they got trapped in that cave, whatever they were, and then they became something else. They're not supposed to be here. Dad!
Hugh slams on the brakes.
Sorry. Okay?
They suddenly find themselves in a traffic jam. Hugh gets out of the van and walks ahead to speak to Glenn, who climbs up on his running board to take a look around.
What do you think?
Man, it's all jammed.
I know.
Okay. You follow me.
All right. Okay.
Radio broadcast.
This is the emergency broadcast system. If you are hearing this transmission, the vesps are continuing to spread outward from the cities and north along the Hudson River. Infested states now include Pennsylvania, New York, Maryland, West Virginia, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts. If you are residing in any of these states, do not attempt to flee.
Hugh follows the SUV into the oncoming lane and through a park. Glenn plows through a set of gates and leads the way along a private laneway to a muddy service road beside train tracks. Allie flips through news photos of vehicles on fire and cops in riot gear. Kelly puts a cell phone on speaker.
Hey, what's up?
Listen, it's going to get a little rough up ahead. If anything looks too shoddy, stop and clear a path, okay?
Okay. Just lead the way.
You got it, buddy.
On a country road, Glenn smiles at his rearview mirror.
What's the matter, Fred? That minivan of yours couldn't keep...
Glenn suddenly swerves to avoid a herd of deer. The SUV careens down a wooded hill, rolls several times, and lands on its roof. Hugh and Kelly clamber down to the mangled SUV, while Lynn and the kids huddle together and watch from the road up top.
Glenn! Glenn!
Trapped inside, Glenn is splattered with blood.
Hey! Glenn. Hey.
Hey. Hey. Can you get out?
Hey, man, my leg's stuck in here.
Okay, call an ambulance, okay?
Kelly dials her phone.
I'm gonna pass out.
Okay, all right. We're gonna get you out of there, all right? I'm gonna get you out. We'll get you out.
My kid's okay?
Yeah, the kids are fine. Don't worry.
Hugh tugs at the dented door.
Okay. Sorry, it's jammed. Sorry. I'll get you out.
You gotta leave me. You gotta go. You gotta get out of here.
No. We're gonna wait with you. I'm not leaving you here.
You gotta wait for it, man. Those things to show up.
I'm not leaving you.
Only way I'm getting out of here is with cutters, and my guess is the fire department is kind of busy right now.
Okay. All right. Let me just find something to pry you out. Okay. Just one second. No luck?
Nothing.
Oh man.
Hang in.
Hugh locates a tire iron.
Okay. Just stay there. We'll get you out of here. We'll get you out of here. It's all right. It's all right.
He pries at the door.
It's all right.
Hey, man.
Yeah? Yeah. What?
Go get my guns.
What?
I need my guns.
Why?
Get my guns. Please, hurry.
Okay. Okay. All right. There you go. What do you want? You want the...
Hugh retrieves a gun case from the back.
Here.
And delivers it to Glenn.
Here.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Now listen to me. I'm going to try again to get you out of here, all right? What are you doing? Why do you want those?
I'm going to shoot you if you don't go. That's what I'm going to do. You got to go take care of your family.
All right, I'm going to go. We're gonna go find somebody with some cutters, okay? And we're gonna get you out of here, and we're gonna get you to a hospital, all right?
Okay.
We're gonna be back very soon.
Okay.
Okay?
God damn it, man.
It's okay. I promise.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Come on, let's go. No luck?
Glenn readies a handgun while Hugh and Kelly climb back to their family.
Is he dead?
No, he's not dead. He's just hurt very badly. Let's go. We're going to get back to the highway, see if we can find somebody with some cutters. Get in the car.
He drops the tire iron on the road, and everyone heads for the car. In the back seat, Allie notices that Otis has his hackles up. Hugh turns off the car, and all the doors close. They exchange wary glances and listen.
Keep him quiet. Shut him up!
Vesps attack the van. Trapped downhill in the SUV, Glenn fires his gun as a distraction. As the prehistoric-looking, bat-like creatures peck and claw at the van, their flesh-colored bodies leave blood-colored smears everywhere.
Glenn.
With bodies the size of a human toddler, they are eyeless, with pointed crests on their heads, spindly backbones and tails, and hooked arms that extend to a 5-foot wingspan.
Dude, son of a bitch!
Glenn shoots the diverted vesps as they attack him.
Shut up.
In the van, they look with concern from the barking dog to the swarming Vesps downhill. Hugh reluctantly climbs to the back of the van, takes Otis in his arms, and restrains him. Allie is overwrought with emotion as Hugh briefly opens the back hatch and lets the dog run out. Lynn holds Allie tight to subdue her, and Kelly embraces Jude. Hugh stares grimly out the rear window. The screen goes black. Later, a view of lush treetops against a blue sky in a seemingly peaceful forest. The view tilts down to show the crashed SUV at the bottom of the hill and the family van parked on the road at the top. Perched on a branch, one of the Vesps bears a maw full of thin, jagged teeth. In the van, the family is silent and tense as they look out through cracked windows. Allie studies a claw mark on her window.
They were scratching in the same places over and over.
We can't stay here.
Hugh signs, "I need to try something, okay?" Stay here, quiet. Sitting in the driver's seat, he puts on his jacket. He cracks the door open. He eases the door open a little wider. Then slowly, cautiously, steps out onto the dirt road. He shuts the door and walks forward in sturdy leather shoes, slowly planting each foot, quietly and deliberately. In the van, his family watches intently through the cracked windows. He turns his head suddenly, eyes riveted on the van, as Lynn starts to cough. Jude quickly grabs an inhaler and hands it to his grandmother. A Vesp rams the sunroof. Outside, Hugh stands still, watching. He spots the discarded tire iron on the road and slowly backs toward it, while his eyes remain locked on the Vesp. The sightless Vesp turns in his direction, bares its teeth, and spreads its wings. Hugh arrives near the tire iron and feels the dirt for it with a trembling hand. He picks it up and hurls it into the distance. He crouches as the Vesp flies past his head and attacks the tire iron. The Vesp stands in place, turning and listening. Then it flies away. Hugh returns to the van. Kelly hugs him. Lynn stifles her tears and signs, "I'm sorry."
It's okay.
Hugh signs, "Listen." They can't see. Only hear.
Dad.
Allie signs, "I know how to live in silence." She makes eye contact with the others, then signs, "We all do." Hugh signs, "Nothing above a whisper. No phones, no texts." We're going to need shelter before it gets dark. He turns to Lynn and signs, "I need your lighter." Kelly objects. She doesn't smoke. They exchange looks. Then Lynn pulls a lighter from her purse and hands it to Hugh. Hugh signs, "You guys pack your bags."
Why?
He mouths, "It's all right," and gets out of the car again. He makes his way down to the SUV and stares into the passenger area. He ignites a rag and leaves it amid the wreckage. He climbs halfway up the hill, stands behind a large tree, and watches the vehicle catch fire. He removes his glasses and looks up to see a horde of Vesps flying toward the noise, smoke, and flames. As he races back to the van, the SUV explodes behind him.
Come on.
Back on the road, he leads his family away from the scene, each of them with a coat and a backpack, purse, or bag. Later, they make their way through a forest, then proceed uphill on a dirt path. Lagging behind, Lynn signals to Kelly, then drops to her knees in the dirt. Kelly hurries to her, crouches beside her, and digs the inhaler from her purse. Lynn covers her mouth as she gasps for air, puffs the inhaler, and weeps. Hugh rushes to support her, and the kids gather around. Hugh signs, "Everyone needs to rest." Lynn makes stroking gestures over her chest and crosses her hands, then Hugh gestures to the kids. Later, in a clearing, Kelly and Lynn are huddled together, sitting on a log. Jude pulls binoculars from his backpack and scans the area. Allie sits on another log, staring gloomily. Hugh approaches and signs to her, "Got room for one more?" She looks up at him, but doesn't respond. He sits beside her. Hugh signs, "I know you may hate me for a long time. I know. But I had to. I'm sorry." He touches her arm, then signs, "I'm sorry," again.
"You need to tell our kids."
Lynn takes a pill as she and Kelly whisper to each other.
"I suspect Ellie knows something, but it's not right. Keep
Sitting with Hugh, Allie softens.
It's okay, Dad. It's okay.
He caresses her back. Looking through the binoculars, Jude gestures excitedly. There's a house. Hugh follows him to his vantage point, takes off his glasses, and looks through the binoculars. He sees a log house amid the forest on a large property bordered by a tall wire fence. He motions to the others, and they gather their things. At dusk, the family descends a hillside en route to the house, while above them, Vesps flock together in a cloudy sky. It is dark out when they approach the property with flashlights on. They keep a safe distance, stand in a row, and take stock of the well-lit log house, situated in a fenced compound with bright lights all around. Hugh leads the way to a gate and tries to pull it open. They crouch down as a Vesp descends on alarm bells at the top of the gate. A woman comes from the house with a shotgun raised.
Get the hell off my land!
Hugh gestures for her to be quiet.
I said, get the hell off my land!
Vesps swarm and attack her. The flapping, pecking swarm lifts her from the ground, drops her into a campfire pit, descends on her, and rips her apart. Crouched outside the fence, the horrified family huddles together with eyes lowered and hands covering their faces and mouths. Hugh shines his light around, then leads his family to a culvert with a metal grate over the opening. They squat down and shine their lights inside. Finding it clear and safe, Hugh opens the grate, then confers with his family using sign language. It's about 30 feet. I'll go first. Once I'm through to the other end, I'll wave you through. The family returns to the fence to wait and watch while Hugh worms through leaves and sand in the long culvert. On his belly, he uses elbows, feet, and knees to propel himself, while his flashlight beams in his hand. Reaching the other end, he opens a grate and gets to his feet. Then he prowls inside the compound while his family watches through the fence. He swings his legs over a short wooden fence, glances at the swarm of Vesps feeding on the corpse in the campfire pit, then cautiously makes his way to a front porch. Leaving the front door ajar, he enters the log house to find it modest, quiet, and unoccupied. A sandwich and glass of milk rest on a harvest-style dining table, along with a bowl full of apples. A few tomatoes rest on the kitchen counter, next to a loaf of bread and a knife on a cutting board. He goes back outside and gestures to his family to join him. He keeps his eyes on the fire pit full of Vesps while the others make their way to the culvert. Kelly directs her son with signs. Okay, Jude, you first. He enters the culvert with his light and crawls ahead, followed by Allie. Lynn gives her daughter a kiss before entering. Then Kelly brings up the rear. Jude comes face to face with a hissing snake, stops dead, and winces.
Rattlesnake!
A Vesp hears the rattle, flies into the culvert, and grabs the snake in its maw. Another Vesp approaches from the rear and grabs hold of Kelly's leg. Hugh hears the commotion from the yard. He starts up a wood chipping machine. The noise attracts the Vesps from the culvert and the yard. They fly into a vat of blades, and their guts are expelled through a chute on the other end. As the family enters the house, Hugh and Lynn support a grimacing Kelly, who is hobbling on one leg. They get Kelly settled on a couch while Allie shuts the front door. Lynn signs to Allie, "See if you can find any peroxide or alcohol. I'll get some scissors." She gives Jude a kiss and hurries away with Allie. Jude crouches at his mother's side. "Does it hurt, Mom?" She replies, "Just a little, honey." Hugh takes off her boot, then signs to her, "I'm sorry, I shouldn't have left." She shushes him. Returning with medical supplies, Allie signs, "I found them." Jude hands his mother a glass of water, and she takes a sip. Then she covers her face with her hand, suppressing cries as Lynn cuts her pant leg and exposes her wound. They are aghast to see a deep, seeping wound encompassing her lower leg. Everyone exchanges concerned looks. A view of the yard shows all is quiet. Except for a few Vesps feeding on the corpse in the fire pit. In the house, Jude is asleep on a couch. Hugh tucks a blanket around him. Lynn looks on from the open kitchen. Hugh crosses to Kelly, asleep on the other couch, and covers her up. He kneels beside her and gently caresses her long golden hair. Lynn pours two drinks of straight liquor. She joins Hugh at the dining table. They raise their glasses, silently clink their knuckles together, and share a smile before sipping their drinks. In a softly lit bedroom, Allie sits on a large bed with her tablet. She clicks on Rob's link, then stares at a view of herself on the glossy black screen and waits for a connection. Rob appears on screen, coughing and looking sickly.
Rob, what's happening?
He signs.
Get out of there. come here. I'll explain how to find me. Rob, get out of there. Rob. Please.
She breaks down crying as the connection goes dead. A daytime view of the compound shows the fire pit covered with a tarp, some seating and a picnic table, a tractor and the wood chipper, mature trees, extensive property, and a forest beyond. Three Vesps fly past the porch, where several chairs are situated to look out at the view. Inside, Kelly sleeps in a large sunny bedroom with framed photos on the bedside dresser. Hugh looks over from a big armchair, where he sits carving a spear point on a long stick. In her own room, Allie scans photos and headlines on her tablet. Image of a car on fire. Headline, atheist burnt alive. Bylines declare religious extremists citing the apocalypse. Lynn removes Kelly's bandages to reveal a horrible festering wound on her leg. Kelly weeps as they make eye contact, her brow soaked with sweat. Allie sits in bed reading Crucifixion in Mississippi on her tablet. Hugh enters and signs to her. What have we found out today? She replies, nothing good. He sits beside her.
A man was crucified in Mississippi.
Okay. He sets the tablet aside. He signs, it's okay, and pulls her into a hug. Lynn comes to the doorway. Hugh nods and gestures for her to come in. She sits on the bed with them.
Without antibiotics, that infection is going to spread.
Okay. So, we have to find some. Are there any here?
There's none. I've looked everywhere. There's
nothing.
None.
Okay, so how long?
Depends on the person.
Okay, but you're a nurse. How long?
Without antibiotics, not long.
Okay.
Scavenging in a cellar, Hugh locates a sickle and adds it to his shoulder bag. Next, in the living room, he and Allie are prepared to leave. Jude signs to him.
Why can't I go?
You have to stay here and take care of Mom. With Grandma. Sorry.
I wish Glenn was here.
Me too. There you go.
He hands a rifle to Lynn, and she gives him a key.
Come here. It's okay.
Jude is tearful. Hugh gives him a long hug, while Lynn and Allie also share an emotional embrace. Then Jude runs to Allie and they hold each other tight. Outside, Vesps circle overhead as Hugh and Allie venture toward the locked gate, treading slowly, each wearing a coat and a shoulder bag. He hands her the sickle, then cautiously uses the key to unlock a padlock. He removes the padlock, sets it on a post with the key, and unhinges the gate, then looks skyward as Vesps react to the noise. The Vesps remain circling high above them as Hugh carefully opens the gate just wide enough to walk through, then secures it in position by pressing a drop rod into the ground. He edges through the gap, then reaches back to collect the sickle from Allie. She cringes as she passes through the gap. Safely through, they set out, walking gingerly across an open field. Later, standing beneath a row of electrical transmission towers, they look up to see thousands of Vesps congregating on power lines. Hugh is transfixed. Allie takes the lead, and he follows. Climbing a grassy hill, they pass an abandoned tennis court littered with balls. They stop in their tracks at the sight of two bodies lying atop the hill. They exchange glances, gather their courage, then proceed toward the bodies. It is a young couple on their sides, facing each other. Allie signs, "Vesps?" Hugh reaches out gingerly and turns the young blonde woman to reveal all color drained from her face and a bloody gash around her throat. He opens the collar of her dark-haired companion to reveal a similar gash and a paper sign attached to his shirt that reads, "Shh."
Oh, okay. Good.
They proceed into an eerily silent town and walk past a church. They stop in the middle of a sunny main street and look all around at vacant sidewalks lined with unoccupied shops. U.S. flags on lampposts flap in a gentle breeze as they walk towards an abandoned three-car pileup in the middle of an intersection. A police car, station wagon, and sedan are smashed together, doors open, interiors empty, windows cracked, blood smears everywhere. A sign outside another church reads, "Will suffering ever end? Who is really in control? Join us and survive." A bearded man in a long dark cloak stands atop a hill, silently watching as Hugh and Allie approach a pharmacy. "Shh" is painted on the door. Hugh peers in through small gaps
in a boarded up window.
Hugh tries the door and finds it locked. Hugh signs, "We have to go around back." Allie nods and follows him. The bearded man scowls. Hugh and Allie arrive at a door in a back alley. Hugh pulls it open and takes a look inside. A dangling fluorescent light flickers dimly in a dark passageway barred by a gate. He signs, "Stay right behind me." He reaches in, turns a knob on the inside, and swings the gate open. As they proceed through the hallway, Hugh gestures to keep quiet and watch your step. They stop at a swinging door and turn on their flashlights. Hugh shines his light into the back of the store before opening the door and leading the way through. Mangled bodies lie amid debris on the floor. They cover their noses and silently pass by, shining their lights on ransacked shelves and products strewn everywhere. The bearded man goes undetected as he stares in through a gap in a boarded-up window. Hugh locates pharmacy shelves filled with medication. He grabs several bottles and puts them in his bag. Allie crouches over a dead body that appears to be moving. She peels back a layer of clothing and shines her light on several large, translucent eggs stirring in the corpse's abdomen. She shines her light around and sees eggs protruding from several bodies. A Vesp chick pokes a digit through its egg membrane and liquid squirts Allie. Several adult Vesps suddenly descend from the rafters and alight atop nearby shelves. Hugh raises his hand. He and Allie both freeze in place. He points upward, and she turns her head anxiously, her eyes darting between the Vesps looming just above their heads. One bares its teeth, extends its ear flaps, and stretches its wings menacingly. Allie looks all around, scanning rows of shelves and products. An agitated Vesp extends its gaping maw and screeches. Looking past it, she spots a sprinkler system on the ceiling. Looking downward, she sees that Hugh is standing directly beneath a sprinkler head. He gestures, she nods, and they both look around, searching the shelves with their eyes. He nods and gestures. She returns the nod. He points. She tracks his gaze and gives him a nod. She clenches her lips and winces as she cautiously proceeds to remove a new rag mop from a merchandise display. A Vesp shifts restlessly above Hugh as he sets his flashlight on a shelf and removes his gloves. He cringes, then steps forward and reaches out. Allie extends the mop toward him. He takes it in hand, stands still, and eyes the Vesps. He takes the lighter from his pocket, holds it under the stringy mop head, and warily flicks the flint wheel with his thumb. The lighter fails to ignite. He tries again and gets a flame. The Vesps flap and shift as he sets the mop head on fire. He raises the flaming mop to the sprinkler head. As an alarm sounds, water spurts everywhere, and the Vesps fly around erratically. Hugh and Allie crouch down. He discards the mop, collects his flashlight, and takes her hand. They stay low and flee through the back of the building. Hurrying away on the street, they pass the car crash at the intersection, then come to a halt and stare ahead at the bearded man standing ominously before them. Hugh signs, "Stay alert." As they hold hands and resume walking, the bearded man opens his arms and blocks their path. They avert their eyes and turn to avoid him. He rushes over, stands in their way, and smiles. They scrutinize him warily as he continually smiles, reaches into his bag, and pulls out a notebook. He caresses the book and opens it reverently to a handwritten page that reads, "I'm the Reverend. Would you like to join my flock, the Hushed?" Allie nudges her dad and signs, "He's weird." Hugh nods in agreement, raises his hand to the Reverend, and attempts to move on. The Reverend blocks them again, writes in his notebook, and holds it up for them to read. "And from the Lord comes deliverance." He locks his eyes on Allie, opens his hand toward her, and smiles unceasingly. Hugh waves his hand negatively, puts a protective arm around Allie, and ushers her away. As they turn their backs, the Reverend opens his mouth, bares his teeth, and reveals a mutilated tongue. Hugh and Allie look back to find he has vanished from sight. They walk on. At the house, Lynn and Kelly are curled up together in the bed.
I'm too shabby for a field dressing, though. That's not what I meant.
They hold each other and weep.
I know.
Jude comes to the door, signing excitedly.
They're back. Stay here.
Sometime later, Kelly bathes in a clawfoot tub. She runs a washcloth over her scarred leg, then glances upward at the sound of Vesps outside. In the living room, Hugh squats in front of a staticky TV, pushing buttons. He is startled when Allie taps him on the shoulder.
Jesus, honey.
CNN's on most of the time, but it drops out now and then.
Yeah, I know. I can't get anything.
They're broadcasting. There's footage of dead Vesps and snowdrifts.
You've seen that?
Yeah, but there's something else. They're calling it the gray. It's places where the electricity's gone out and people are getting cut off when their phone and computer batteries die. Like entire regions of the country are being wiped off the map.
Jesus. It's like we're back in the dark ages.
He approaches Jude at the dining table, playing a solitaire card game.
I made this for you.
A wooden spear.
I think Uncle Glenn would have wanted you to have it.
Thank you, Dad.
Just be careful with it, okay? Just...
Allie interrupts.
He's here.
The family gathers at the window to see the Reverend standing in the yard, accompanied by three grim-looking men and two women with forced smiles. Kelly signs, "What do they want?" Hugh replies, "I don't know." The Reverend makes eye contact, smiles, tilts his head, and waits. Hugh signs, "I'm going to go talk to him." Kelly stops him as he heads for the door, signing, "Aren't you going to take the gun?" Hugh shakes his head. He hesitates before opening the door. Then he quietly steps out onto the porch and pulls the door shut behind him. The Reverend nods and opens his arms, then opens his book to a page that reads, "Join us." Hugh shakes his head and mouths the words, "No, thank you." He sweeps his hands in a defensive gesture, curts nodly, and starts to go back inside. The Reverend raises his index finger. Hugh waits while the Reverend writes, "Follow our example." Hugh shifts uneasily, then gestures toward the Reverend's notebook and pen. The Reverend shuts the book, bows his head, and presents it reverently, then smiles and waits. The family keeps watch at the window, while Hugh writes in the book and hands it back. The Reverend steps forward and bows his head reverently as he takes the book in two hands. He steps back and reads what Hugh has written. "Leave us alone, please." As Hugh starts for the door, the Reverend raises his index finger once again. Hugh waits impatiently while the Reverend writes. The Reverend locks his eyes on Hugh and holds up a page declaring, "The girl is fertile." He shifts his gaze to Allie, standing in the window, then looks back at Hugh with smiling eyes. Hugh looks them over, then retreats to the house. As the Reverend turns away, Hugh arrives on the porch with the shotgun raised. One of the women alerts the Reverend. He glances at Vesps, perched in nearby trees, then locks his eyes on Hugh and writes without breaking eye contact. He smiles and holds up the word. Shh. The Reverend takes a step forward. Hugh cocks the gun. The followers step up behind the Reverend. He bares his teeth and shows his mutilated tongue. Hugh stands firm with the rifle ready. The Reverend turns his back, opens his arms to his followers, shuts his eyes, and takes a cleansing breath. They bow their heads as if in silent prayer, then follow the smiling Reverend out of the yard. Hugh remains on the porch, face clenched, rifle up, swallowing hard. At dusk, the sky over the house is filled with Vesps. In the house, Allie is napping on her bed when her tablet lights up with a message from Rob saying, "Still with me?" She perks up and replies excitedly, "Yes, where are you?" He responds, "Headed north. People surviving up there." Her face lights up. She types, "Where?" He replies, "The refuge." Her response is filled with question marks. "What refuge?" She waits for a reply. An error message fills the screen. "Safari cannot open the page because your iPad is not connected to the internet." In the other bedroom, Hugh and Kelly snuggle together on the bed.
"We have to head north."
"Okay.
He takes off his glasses. She kisses him, and they smile at each other.
"Love you."
He holds her tight, and they kiss more deeply. Outside, lightning flashes in the night sky as a thunderstorm brews. Lynn and Jude are asleep on the living room couches. Allie is asleep in her bed. In the other bedroom, Kelly sleeps under the blankets while Hugh dozes on top of the covers. Everyone is fully clothed, Hugh with his shoes on. Hearing noises, Hugh opens his eyes and listens. He gets out of bed, puts on his glasses, and walks to a window. He pulls back the curtains and looks out into the darkness. Flashes of lightning illuminate the yard, revealing nothing out of the ordinary. They put on their jackets. Hugh grabs the rifle, and they creep into the living room. Hearing a noise, they look to the front door. Kelly rouses Lynn, and she gets Jude up. Hugh Hugh pulls a curtain aside and looks out to the porch. He shuts the curtain.
I don't see anybody.
Jude looks out and sees a girl on the porch.
Dad?
Hugh looks out.
What is it?
It's a little girl.
Let me look.
They all peer out at the girl standing in the storm. Hugh opens the door. Kelly swiftly ushers the girl inside. Lynn pulls her to a chair and drapes a blanket around her while Hugh quickly secures the door.
I think she's in shock.
Are you alone?
You okay? Why are you here?
The little blonde girl appears to be about 10 years old. She looks warily from face to face and doesn't say a word. Meanwhile, Allie awakens in bed and sits up slowly, as if in a daze. In the living room, the adults huddle around the anxious-looking girl.
What's your name?
It's okay. You. Look at her jaw.
Her jaw and throat are badly bruised. Kelly gently opens the girl's mouth, revealing a mutilated tongue. In the bedroom, Allie gets up slowly, opens the curtains, and looks out to see a cell phone taped to the window. In the living room,
did they send you here?
The girl looks down. The women pull back her sweater to reveal several cell phones strapped to her shirt. The phone on Allie's window rings. Vesps attack her window and swarm the house. The phones attached to the little girl sound off. Hugh and Lynn wrestle to get the phones off of her. Vesps break through into Allie's bedroom. Kelly hauls her out and shuts the door. Lynn looks around frantically with an armful of ringing phones. Jude helps collect them and immerse them in a dishpan of soapy water. Kelly signs to Allie. Phones were ringing. They all stand silently, exchanging terrified looks as Vesps flap at the windows. Kelly signs. Phones now silent. They all stand rigidly as the attacking Vesps quiet down. More phones sound off. Glass shards fly through the room as Vesps try to penetrate a skylight and a window. The women and girls flee to the cellar while Hugh and Jude try to barricade the window. In the cellar, three men come out of nowhere and grab Allie. Lynn and Kelly attack them and are thrown aside. Allie struggles violently. Kelly grabs a hammer, bludgeons one man, and gets kicked to the floor. Lynn rushes to her side. Allie thrashes fiercely as the men carry her outside. The little girl runs out after them.
You stay here. My darling girl.
Lynn leaves Kelly writhing on the floor and rushes outside in pursuit of Allie. Out in the yard, a scene unfolds in slow motion. Allie and Lynn share desperate looks, struggle against the men, and thrash around. They all fall and grapple on the ground. Allie makes a run for it. Once she is clear, Lynn lets out a scream. Vesps descend on Lynn and the men while Allie watches from a distance. Rain pours down as Kelly emerges from the cellar. Allie looks over at her and starts to bawl. Kelly drops to her knees and covers her face with her hands. Hugh and Jude arrive in the yard to see a man grab Allie from behind, press a knife to her throat, and haul her away. A blonde woman ushers the little girl away. The preacher steps forward, holds a shushing finger to his lips, smiles, and follows them to the gate. Hugh looks skyward through rain-splattered glasses. He takes them off and gazes up at agitated vesps circling amid the trees. The storm rages as the preacher and his followers walk away from the compound, with Allie slung over one man's shoulder. Kelly suddenly appears, swinging the sickle wildly. She slashes the man's legs, and he and Allie go crashing to the ground. Hugh knocks the preacher down with a bar, straddles him, and presses the bar to his throat. A man knocks Kelly to the ground and raises a knife. Jude attacks the man with his spear and gets hurled to the ground. The preacher stabs Hugh in the gut, and Hugh rolls onto the grass. Allie disables her mother's attacker by pounding his head with a rock. Hugh and the preacher stagger to their feet. Hugh grabs the preacher by the collar and headbutts him. The preacher teeters for a moment, then collapses. Kelly stabs her attacker viciously, then rushes to Hugh's side. Allie stands with her mouth agape, taking stock of their fallen enemies, while the woman and girl cuddle together and look on. Allie sees the preacher getting to his feet and warns her dad. Hugh grabs the bar and swings it brutally. He knocks the preacher down, then bludgeons him to death. Kelly and Allie pull him away. Huddled together in the pouring rain, the family makes eye contact with the woman and girl standing in the distance. As the family turns away and heads for the house, the woman and girl walk off in the opposite direction. Lightning flashes, revealing a sky full of circling vesps. Sometime later, the family treads quietly through a forest on a sunny day. Laden with heavy coats, warm hats, bags, and gear, they stride downhill, then hike beside a crystal blue lake. A snow-capped mountain towers in the distance. Hugh and Kelly carry rifles, and Jude uses his spear as a walking stick. At night, scant snowflakes gently drift down as the family gathers around a campfire in a tunnel beneath a stone overpass. In daytime, brilliant sunshine reflects off of communication towers and other structures nestled around a snow-covered mountaintop. In the valley below, the family tramps amid stone ruins. One huge wall has "The Refuge, 11 miles" painted on it, along with a sketch of a mountain and a directional arrow. Taking a break from their journey, Hugh patrols while Jude and Kelly sit on enormous stone window ledges to have a snack. Allie sits in an abandoned car with her tablet in hand. The black screen suddenly lights up with a message from Rob in uppercase letters. "With survivors, head north. Find the refuge. Are you okay?" Allie's face brightens into a smile. She narrates.
"We know the vesps don't like the cold. But will they evolve and adapt like they did in the past? I know I did."
A vesp alights on an animal carcass in a forest dappled with snow.
"So will the rest of humanity evolve? Will we adapt to this new world of silence and remember what it is that separates us from them?"
An arrow strikes it dead.
"Maybe."
The carcass is full of eggs.
"I guess it's just a question of which of the two species does it first."
Allie lowers her bow and looks over her shoulder at Rob, who is also armed with a bow and arrow. He gestures to her. She draws another arrow, and they move on. Credits. Cast: Stanley Tucci as Hugh, Kiernan Shipka as Allie, Miranda Otto as Kelly, Kate Trotter as Lynn, John Corbett as Glenn, Kyle Breitkopf as Jude, Dempsey Brick as Rob, Billy McClellan as the Reverend, Sarah Abbott as the girl, Konima Parkinson-Jones as the woman caver, and Alex Hatz as Max. Copyright 2018 Constantin Film Production GmbH.
red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.